Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Capp.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collin.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to
The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy. And this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. And what is the Troy Murphy Show, I hear you ask? Well, my friends, it's an opinion-based talk show with something for everyone, but not everything for anyone. We encourage debate, discussion, as we sometimes put our serious hats on to look at the big issues in the news. And on the flip side of the coin, we love to take a look at the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from around the world, you know, to have a good laugh at. Because even though we like the serious, we like to not be serious too. You know, for the yin and yang of it all. The balance. Big thank you to Jamie Sims for taking on the first hour of Drive. Brilliant music as always, my friend. But with Christmas not far away, are you excited? Or are you like me and are you counting down the days to the big day? Because then you can take some much needed time off work to rest after a very, very busy year. But in saying that, being busy with all the last minute shopping that is going on as we inevitably do all that last minute Christmas shopping, mistakes get made. Point in case, I do a lot of online shopping. It's easy, it's convenient, and with the work that I do, it's very hard to allocate extra time to go out in public and do, you know, traditional in-store shopping. But this week, oh my goodness, you know, I ordered a fancy new salad bowl. Oh, talk about how do you tell someone you're getting old? I just ordered a new salad bowl online. Anyway, the reason why I ordered this salad bowl is you've got to have something nice to put your contribution to Christmas lunch in, you know, and this year I'm doing a salad. And well, I ordered a bowl, and because, you know, of holiday postage, it took a week to get here. Ugh, drama. And when it arrived, I opened up the box, and I was actually having coffee with my neighbor. And, you know, I saw the box, went, oh, this is my new salad bowl. Yeah, we got excited. We're old people. And, well, you know, you should have seen my face when I opened it, because it was wrong. I ordered a green cabbage leaf bowl. Looks a bit tacky, but it's very cool. I love it. And what arrived instead was a blue china bowl with people all over it. I was absolutely shocked. My neighbor said, the look of my face, I went from elated to devastated. You know, I could have forgiven, you know, a slight mistake, maybe the wrong size bowl because it comes in different sizes, or a similar looking bowl. But this was a blue bowl, not green. It had people on it, not shaped like cabbage leaves. The only thing these two had in common was that they were bowls. Missed it by that much. The only saving grace is that the bowl that I got, the bowl that I bought was $80. It cost me $80. That's expensive for a salad bowl, I know, but it's the novelty of it all, and I like the design. The one I got, the one that was mistakenly delivered, worth $300. What? Makes you wonder, Who the hell is spending $300 on a salad bowl? Which brings us to today's celebration of the day. As always, here on the Troy Murphy Show, every day is a celebration, as today, the 15th day of the month of December in the year 2022, we celebrate National Re-gifting Day. Yes, that's right. Today is the day that we re-gift the bad presents we've received throughout the year, especially, you know, in the lead up to Christmas. National Re-gifting Day was started by office workers in Colorado in 2018 who were given gifts that they didn't really want but didn't want to throw away. So they re-gifted their presents to someone who would want it and make good use of it. Oh, we've all been there. The office Christmas Kringle. And you've got, what, a $20 or a $50 spend limit. And you get rubbish gifts. I can't believe they decided to re-gift. I normally just threw things away and made it very obvious by putting it in the bin next to my desk. That's the kind of person I am. To celebrate this day, all you have to do is give the gift away that you received and have not yet opened to someone else. Oh, that not yet open part is a bit of a doozy. But which brings us to this week's top five. I would have done top five gifts that I've re-gifted. But firstly, family listened to the show and, you know, I have the rule about gifts. I don't give gifts and I don't get gifts. Saves everyone money and you don't have that awkward situation where you have to put it on display every time they visit. So rather, today's top five list is top five worst gift ideas of all time.
Five.
A re-gifted gift, especially if they forgot you're the one who actually gave it to them in the first place, you know, like the year before for Christmas, and then you get it back for Christmas. Although that's kind of funny.
Four.
A cemetery plot or a headstone?
Three.
A diet cookbook. Nothing says you're fat, do something about it, than a diet cookbook.
Two.
An autographed picture of oneself. I actually I actually did this for a family member, for our family secret Santa one year. I did put the picture in a frame. It looks like I got so ungrateful. Who wouldn't want a picture of Troy Murphy from the Troy Murphy Show signed in a frame? You know, glossy print paper and all. They were very ungrateful until they opened the back of the frame and found the spend limit amount of scratches in the back. Honorary mention here, however, to scratchies for an honorary mention to the worst gift ideas of all time too. Which brings us to number one.
One.
The $300 salad bowl I was accidentally sent that I'll re-gift to my mum for Christmas. Merry Christmas, mum. Here's a $300 bowl that, you know, we'll all eat out of. Oh, you know, Son of the Year award, Son of the Year. On the show this week, oh, it's a jam-packed, crazy, zany show. We'll be taking a look at a psychic who has predicted what will happen in 2023. And he's predicted a lot of stuff. We're in for another dumpster bin fire of a year. Bali has backflipped on its bonking ban. Mariah Carey has been banned too. There's a lot of banning going on at the moment. And we'll take a look at a very strange parent who has named their child Wednesday after the TV character Wednesday, you know, from the Addams Family. And what I think about that. It is an opinion-based show, so we'll be ranting. And of course, on a serious note, we'll take a look at the latest from the Indigenous Voice to Parliament and how the government is potentially setting it up to fail, in my opinion. We'll take a look at local Shire news, and so much more. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear on, because that's how we do things here on the Troy Murphy Show, responsibly.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky Bear's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky Bear's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Never miss a show? Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SR.com.au homepage program guide.
Ponder this. It's very likely that someone you've met thinks that you're the dumbest person that they've ever met. Ain't that the truth?
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under another week, another crazy, zany news story. But first, let's bookmark this story so we can take a look back on it this time next year. As the Daily Mail reports, a psychic who claims he predicted the coronavirus pandemic, the Notre Dame fire, and Meghan and Harry's Oprah interview has revealed more predictions for 2023, including a malaria outbreak, celebrity heartbreak, and turmoil for the royal family. Oh, gosh, but there's more. The therapist, originally from South London, said he also forecast Donald Trump losing the US election and the Black Lives Matter global protests, both which occurred in 2020. The guy's name is Nicholas Ajula. He's now a Hollywood astrologer. Of course he went to Hollywood. Of course he did. The place where Wacky goes to live. And what does he predict for 2023? Well, let's go through his list. It starts with an increase in mass flooding, malaria, and power outages on a global scale. He also has predictions of a palace or presidential building on fire, which could be symbolic of people wanting a change in whoever is in power. He also says the royal family's popularity and income will decline, where they may have to sell their properties, or they may in turn do something with one of their properties turning into a hotel, or they will have to diversify, work for a living. King Charles will have health issues. Cost of living crisis will continue for the long term, predicting that it will last about 6 or 7 years. The Conservative Party, and I assume this is in the UK because this is where he's from and that's where the only Conservative Party is in power in Western worlds-ish. Anyway, let's not go there. I'm assuming the UK, the Conservative Party will suffer a crisis in the summer. Okay, moving on. Oh, some celebrity stuff. Madonna will experience some kind of sorrow, if she isn't already, for her face. And Beyonce could question her relationship. But that's not all. It continues. He predicts an all-male celebrity brawl at a film festival or award show, either physical or verbal. And this Nicholas chap also thinks celebrities will be raising awareness about testicular cancer, or there will be a certain male celebrity that will encourage others to talk about the disease. A British cyclist will break some kind of record. And he also said he keeps seeing images of all these men surfing and then a big tide comes in and then they're all washed away. He went on to say, and I quote, It feels as if nature is somehow going to win, or nature has the upper hand over us, and that we need to work with nature, not against it, because I just feel nature is going to put people in their place, end quote. Now, let's be honest, there's nothing groundbreaking in these predictions. All you really have to do is follow the news on a daily basis to come up with a few random outcomes to predict most of this, like cost of living, floods and power outages, the Conservative Party suffering another crisis, King Charles at 70 or however old he is having health issues. No, I can't swear on radio. to be, oh dear. But like I said, let's bookmark this and come back to see how many of these this Hollywood, what does he call himself? A Hollywood astrologer gets correct. I'm looking forward to the Wipeout wave, though. That sounds entertaining, and it's very specific as well, as in men surfing. It's probably just going to be like a surf competition or something mild, and there's a big Wipeout wave that just knocks a few people out. But anyway, let's see if these happen in 2023. If they do, we're in for a bumpy ride. That's like more than one a month. Ooh. Especially that Madonna experiencing some kind of sorrow. She might just wake up to herself with, you know, what she's done with all that plastic surgery on the old noggin. Stick around next, because coming up, we're going to talk how Bali has backflipped on the bonking ban. That's a lot of bees.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Never miss a beat. Follow The Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. The more you know, the more you know how much you don't know.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in as we file this next segment under Who Didn't See This Controversial Backflip Happening? As we update a story we spoke about last week on the show, you know, the one where Bali sets to implement a non-marital bonking ban. Well, it turns out that the outrage machine has warranted a backflip from the Bali officials in Indonesia, where they've now reassured tourists seeking to visit Indonesia in the coming years that they will not be affected by the new ban. You know, the bonking ban. The one where you can't bonk unless you've already put a ring on it. The article reads, Bali officials have confirmed that the nation's new controversial bonking laws will not affect foreign tourists when visiting. Looking to reassure potential visitors, Bali Governor Wayne Koster explained that there will be no checking on marital status upon check-in at any tourism accommodation, such as hotels, villas, apartments, guest houses, lodges, and spas. Those, I assume they mean foreigners, who visit or live in Bali will not need to worry with regard to the entry into force of the Indonesian Criminal Code, he said. Notice in that statement that is in the report, well, he said, and I quote, there will be no checking on marital status upon check-in at any tourism accommodation. The key word in this sentence being accommodation. And this is a key word because we've had other officials in Bali have been quoted saying that the decision to implement this now called bonking ban for non-wed couples was made to uphold Indonesian values in the world's largest Muslim majority nation. Accommodation is the key word because it's very specific of where they will not be checking marital status. It leaves the rest of the country open for checking, essentially, based on the information that we've got thus far. And only when you're checking in. So, you know, if a couple checks in, won't be checked. But could they be checked elsewhere? And does this include if they're caught bonking in their hotel room? Or what if they're caught bonking elsewhere? I'm not married, so, you know, I don't know what goes on, you know, when it comes to this sort of stuff. I think this is still very much a watch this space story. As I predicted last week, and I still hold my opinion, that Australians will still keep going to Bali for holidays. It's cheap, it's close by, it's easy. Unlike unmarried people who can no longer be easy. And then, you know, we'll find in a year or two or after this is all implemented that an Australian couple will get done under this new law after getting done by each other. And there will be fake outrage by the media and the Australian people. And then, you know, we'll stop going and it'll cripple the Indonesian tourist industry, which again, like I said last week, pre-COVID was worth $2 billion a year to the country. Oh my goodness. You know, so far what has been said about the Bali bonking ban, it's not going to affect Australian tourists with what they've said so far. But could you imagine living under such a draconian law? Seriously, this country is enforcing a law on consensual adult relations, the natural physical act of procreation and pleasure. Talk about going backwards as a country. You know, when people let their governments get away with this sort of law making, and look, I understand Indonesia is a mostly Muslim country. It's part of their religion. I assume the majority would agree with this sort of thing based on their religion, but I guarantee you there are a few who don't. When we let governments get away with this sort of lawmaking, it sets a precedent. They've been given the approval. They've stepped up to the line. They've overstepped it. They've been given approval to do it because no one challenges it. And then next time, they go further than where they've been before. It only gets worse. This will be a topic of outrage for years to come, and we'll follow it here on the Troy Murphy Show. But until then, stick around because coming up next, the Mariah Carey Christmas music ban that has the Troy Murphy Show's full support.
The Troy Murphy Show presents 30 Seconds of Calm.
Ah, I needed that 30 seconds of calm. But now, let's get back into the crazy zany that is the Troy Murphy Show.
SSR FM 99.7.
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Ponder this. Maybe and maybe not are the same thing.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under yes. Yes, 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 yes. Now, while we talk serious issues here on The Troy Murphy Show, we also like to look at the ridiculous news too, such as a Sydney pub who has banned the horribly popular song Mariah Carey's All I Want from Christmas from being played. Not really ridiculous. Good move. Great move. Hate the song and people's weird obsession with it year on year. Now, I know hate is a very, very strong word, but I do hate it. There's very little I hate in this world. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas, in fact, that, you know, whole entire album, hate. Possibly got something to do with some sort of childhood trauma. I'm sure a session on a couch with, you know, a professional might fix that or be able to address it better. But for the time being, hate the song. The report reads, country and western bar Jolene's have declared this festive season a Mariah Carey-free zone and will not be playing the famous song. The bar owner, Simon Rose Hopkins, said while he's leaning into the Christmas season, he refuses to play the cliché Christmas songs you typically hear on repeat. He said, and I quote, "We're doing Christmas on steroids. We've got lights, reindeers, Christmas trees, and Christmas cocktails like gingerbread Manhattan and Pavlova Christmas slushy. Sounds delicious. We've got a country Christmas playlist, but we won't be playing Mariah. Instead," he goes on, "the bar will be playing Lee Kernaghan's version of Jingle Bell Rock, Dolly Parton's A Smoky Mountain Christmas, and Blake Shelton's Two Step Round the Christmas Tree. Our queen of country, Rhonda Frances from My Kind of Country, that airs Thursday morning, would love that news. I hope she's playing a whole heap of that stuff. You know, I'm all for the ban. I am all for the ban in this case. You know, if I were managing this radio station, I too would implement an all-out ban on Mariah Carey's Christmas music. I would, but I want your opinion. Let's have some fun with this. Do you love or do you hate? Strong word, I know, but you know, you're either in one or two boats here. Do you love or do you hate Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas? Head to The Troy Murphy Show's Facebook page. Jump on Facebook, search The Troy Murphy Show, click like and follow. Find the post and share your opinion. Coming up next, the problem with the Indigenous voice to Parliament.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hey guys, Kieran here with the Antiques and Alternate Show, playing you Aussie alt and older antique songs. Join me 6 to 7 p.m. Fridays for a bit of fun and a fresh new quiz every week. Tune in then.
It's time now for Sutherland Shire Local News.
Today in Sutherland Shire local news, HSC results were released today, and as all Sutherland Shire Year 12 students received their results, two have stood out as exceptional, with Annette Compton of Cronulla High School placed first in food and technology, and Tamara McKeon of Engadine High School in textiles and design. Overall, a total of 126 students were acknowledged for their achievements in topping courses at a ceremony on Wednesday. The Minister of Education, Sarah Mitchell, said 135 certificates were presented to 126 students, with 9 students topping more than one course. Also in local news, residents in Jenali are fighting a proposed six-story apartment block which would replace a beautiful old home on a large, luxurious vegetated site. Residents are seeking support from the local and wider community to stop the proposal. They have started a Facebook page called Residents Against Wyack Road Development. Australia Day in the Shire has been announced with a jam-packed schedule over 3 days, including the return of large-scale events. ARIA Award-winning indie pop act Shepherd will headline the Australia Day concert in Cronulla Park, which in the past has attracted crowds of up to 35,000 people. Shepherd will be joined by Samantha Jade, along with Jess and Matt. On Australia Day Eve, a sunset cultural ceremony will be held by local Aboriginal elders on the banks of the Warrinoora River. And talented local performers will be part of Symphony by the Beach to be held the day following Australia Day in Cronulla Park. Australia Day fireworks, well, they're planned to go ahead but are subject to approval from emergency service authorities on the day. And finally in the news, Warrinoora Heights Oval has been cut off from a list of proposed New Sutherland Shire off-leash dog parks following protests from local residents and sporting officials. During a council meeting, two Warrinoora Heights residents were given the opportunity to address councillors and give reasons why their local oval, which is already used for a range of purposes, was unsuitable for an off-leash facility. Councillors agreed and resolved to look for an alternative site in the vicinity of Warrinoora Heights. And that's what's happening in Sutherland Shire local news.
Hope it's not too much of a disaster. Will he get through an entire show without offending someone? We are so open door with the Troy Murphy Show. Have a yabba-dabba-doo time. A dabba-doo time. You'll have a gay old time.
For everything off air, follow the Troy Murphy Show on Instagram. Search the Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. I think we're all looking at the potential upcoming zombie apocalypse the wrong way. Zombies are a great source of perpetual energy. Just get one on a treadmill and connect that treadmill to a generator. Global warming crisis solved.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
Thanks for tuning in. It's great to have your company. Now, at the front of this segment, I just want to point out that I am still on the fence when it comes to the Indigenous voice of Australia. I understand its importance, but I also think, is it the best thing we could do as a country for our Indigenous people? I'm very dubious about the way we are going about it. And, well, as someone who works in media, we are trained to always ask why. And where we stand at the moment as a country with how this is progressing, I question why we are going down this avenue and not others, and I question the motive behind it. So let me just start by saying where we stand at the moment, I will admit this, I am in the no camp. Now, before you switch off the radio or grab your pen to write a letter of complaint, hear me out. Hear me out. The problem I have is that where we stand at the moment, we are having a referendum in late 2023. That's next year. I'm on board with that. It's great that the Australian people have a say. It's great that we are potentially doing something to make the lives of our Indigenous people better. My concern is, and this is why I'm in the no camp, is that Australians won't know the exact model of the Indigenous voice to Parliament or what the Indigenous voice to Parliament will entail when they cast their ballots at the referendum. So essentially, if we all vote yes and give the government the green light to go ahead with this, we don't know what we're saying yes to. And here's the kicker. The federal government have received advice and is acting on said advice from an advisory group of constitutional expert lawyers to deliberately not take a specific model to the referendum. And in the political climate that we live in now, well, I hate to say this, but if you vote no, the public perception of you, and I'm sure some of you might have this about me, is that you're a racist, when it's not the case. But if you vote yes, you're voting in favour of something that we're being misled on or not given all the information on. Now, in our every day-to-day lives, the majority of us would, well, if we were to say yes to doing something, we would want to know what it involves. We would never say yes to doing something without knowing what it involves or the potential outcome of what we're saying yes to. I consider this deceptive and disingenuous from the federal government to go about this the way they are. Prior to this referendum, we should know exactly what we are voting for. Otherwise, we might get an Indigenous voice to Parliament that is just tokenistic and has no real effect, that costs taxpayers billions and billions of dollars each year and is a complete waste of money and doesn't help our Indigenous people. Or, on the other side of the coin, we get an Indigenous voice to Parliament that is divisive, based on race, with giving only a small percentage of the Australian population more say than others when it comes to politics, law, how the place is run, which is not in line with the democratic society we live in. We need more information on the subject prior to voting. You know, we need more discussion about the matter. And until then, I don't think I will be supporting The Voice. And for those half listening or blinded by cheap, easy shots to call me a racist, know this, my decision has nothing to do with race, but everything to do with the deception and the decisions of our government to go about it the way they are, who are deliberately not informing the Australian people prior to asking us to vote on an issue that could affect all of us as a country, not just the Indigenous people. Now, I'm not trying to sway anyone's vote here or convince anyone on how they should vote. I'm just saying that for me, and this being an opinion show, I'm sharing my opinion, that I think our government should do better, and we as a voting public who vote our officials in, they're elected to run the joint. I kind of think that they should be giving us a little bit more information before we go to a poll, which will be of great expense to the country. We should have all the information as opposed to, I'm going to call it deceptiveness. You know, we need to know the model and how it's going to run and what it's going to do and the benefit it is going to give our Indigenous population before we can check that box and say yes. Of course, I will keep covering this story as more news is made available, and because it's going to be a bumpy ride. We've got till next year. There's plenty of time for our government to change its mind, educate us better, let us know what their thoughts are, how they want this to run, how it's going to actually help Australian people, in particular our Indigenous population, and how it's going to benefit the country as a whole to do this before we say yes. stick around, because coming up next, we're going to go back into some less serious news from the week as we take a look at a very funny and interesting story of a woman who, well, gave her child a very, very interesting name that gives me no faith in humankind.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downing. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
TSSR FM 99.7.
2SSR FM, the home of the Troy Murphy Show.
Ponder this. Knowing that something is unhelpful is helpful.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under. Oh, there really needs to be some sort of child-rearing license to stop stupid things like this from happening. You know, it was bound to happen. You get a really popular TV show that, well, grows a bit of a cult following. Point in case, the new Wednesday on Netflix, the reboot of the Addams Family franchise. And then, you know, inevitably, the sheep jump on the bandwagon and make life-affecting decisions based on what is currently cool, such as internet user and new mum Katie Addams, who gave birth to a baby girl on Halloween, and she took her chance to name her daughter after the TV show's lead Addams Family member, Wednesday, but not spelt Wednesday as in the way the show does, or, you know, the day of the week, but rather Wednesdaigh. I see what she did. Halloween birth. Addams Family is very Halloweenish. The child's last name is already Addams, but with one D, not two, like the fictional character. And it's also a bit of a pattern for the mum, who already has three other children with unique names all spelt differently. And I'd read them out, but because they're spelt differently, I guarantee you I won't pronounce them correctly. You know, it's today's age, our teachers are not given enough credit, not just because of the hard work that they do, but because of the stupid names parents are giving their children that they have to learn how to pronounce and remember. Roll call must be a terrible thing, unless they don't do roll call anymore. Maybe they don't do roll call anymore because of parents. Who knows? Who knows? I haven't been to school in a very, very long time. Anyway, back to this poor, poor child. You know when you get asked later in life, you know, who were you named after or what were you named after? This kid is either going to have a very cool story to tell or not. You can imagine it. I was born on Halloween and my parents named me after a fictional goth character from a TV show. You can only imagine how funny it will be if the child grew up to be more like the actress Emma Myers character, Enid, from the show. You know, the colourful, bubbly one. I guess you really had to have watched the show to know who I'm talking about. But she's like the polar opposite of Wednesday, who's dressed in black, very, you know, serious and homicidal. Is that the right word? Anyway, that's Wednesday. We all know what Wednesday. Think the polar opposite of the coin, and that's what this Enid character is. Bubbly, colourful, rainbows, pink, everything. Very girly. Watch the show. It's brilliant. I highly recommend it. If you've got time off at the end of the year and you haven't seen it, add it to your must-do if you love the creepy and the kooky. And we do love the creepy and the kooky here at the Troy Murphy Show. You know, I guess you know, that would be much better than, say, if she grew up, you know, I guess if she was a bit more like the colourful character, that would be a lot more better than, say, if she grew up like the actual Wednesday character from the TV show, who has an affliction for death, murder and torture. Would make one hell of a news story, though, if she did. The media would have a field day. But to wrap this back around, file this continued evidence of why there really, really needs to be some sort of approval license for bringing a child into the world. You know, the older I get, the more I believe people treat childbirth as a novelty rather than the very, very serious act of bringing a new human into the world. Is it just me? Is it just me? Am I the drama here? Is it just... No, I'm definitely... I don't think I'm the odd one out here.
It's crazy and it's zany. It's delirious but grainy. Tastes a little gamey. The Troy Murphy Show.
Weird. Unique. It's just like a train wreck. You just can't stop listening.
So tune the radio dial on Thursday nights at 6 from. We're gonna put the ray on the Troy Murphy Show.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SR.com.au homepage program guide.
Ponder this. Car chase scenes on TV shows and movies are going to sound a lot less exciting once they start using electric cars. Ugh.
The Troy Murphy Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under It Was Bound to Happen, and well, I'm okay with it. As the Cambridge Dictionary has updated its definition of man and woman to be inclusive of transgender people, the change made in October follows the Oxford English Dictionary and the Merriam-Webster Dictionary in recent changes of the definition. Sophia White, spokeswoman of the Cambridge University Press and Assessment, told the Washington Post that, and I quote, "They carefully studied usage patterns of the word woman and concluded that this definition is one that learners of English should be aware of to support their understanding of how the language is used. Woman in the Cambridge Dictionary retained the definition, an adult female human being, but now has an additional line to the definition. It reads, an adult who lives and identifies as female, though they may have been said to have had a different sex at birth. The definition also carries two examples. The examples are, she was the first trans woman elected to a national office, and the second one, Mary is a woman who was assigned male at birth. The definition of man has also been updated with a secondary definition of an adult who lives and identifies as male, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. Two examples have also been added, reading Mark is a trans man equals a man who was said to be female when they were born, and their doctor encouraged them to live as a man for a while before undergoing surgical transition. And you know what? I'm okay with this. I don't think it's too out there. I think it's very inclusive, and it's really going to put a stop to people going around with, tagline, what is a woman? What is a woman? Hopefully it ends that line in politics and traditionally right-wing media as they go for clickbait. You know, I know not everyone is going to agree with this, but as someone who is moderate in my thinking, and I like, I was centered. I prefer to, I like to think of myself more centered more than anything else when it comes to this. I don't lean to any extremes, left or right. But I'm all about fairness and acceptance and what is best for the greater good. And if being more accepting means changing how we define what is a woman and what is a male to be more inclusive of the transgender community, you know, I'm all for that. Although I will identify a bias here. I am of the LGBTI plus community, and I have long worked in LGBTI plus Q alphabet soup media. I think I can get away with that because I am one. but, you know, but I do have questions. I have lots of questions, like with anything, you know. I have worked most of my life as a journalist, and it is our job to question things. You know, there is a trend out there to put the word cis, as in cisgender, meaning identifies as the gender of the sex they were born. I just like the term assigned, the gender they were assigned at birth. There is a trend for that, to call, you know, people who identify as female and were born female, or identify as male and were born male, cis female or cis male. So I don't see what the problem is with the terms trans woman or trans man. If we're going to say cis woman, cis man, why not trans woman, trans man? For me, this would be, going down this avenue, would be, we'd get less flack, less pushback from more conservative people and old school people who don't want the definition of the term male and female changed. I'm not saying that I have a problem with a trans person using the term of the gender they have transitioned to, i.e. male or female. I'm just saying that I have no problem with either or both being used, potentially. You know, the English language is an evolving thing, construct. you know, why can't we can, I don't see a problem with multiple terms being used to describe certain things, such as, you know, there's plenty of examples of that in our language as it is. Considering we're on the topic of LGBTI and trans stuff, you know, the term gay. The gay means, well, once meant, still does, happy, and it also means a, well, nowadays, well, it's had a few evolutions. Gay used to mean the whole LGBTI plus community, but now it just generally means a man who is attracted to another man. But for this, for the sake of education and acceptance and learning, you know, I think I'm going to have to get a trans person or expert in on the show to discuss this more in the new year. It's a fascinating subject, and there's so many variables of it as well. Like at the moment, we're only just talking definition of words, but in the last couple of years, there's been other issues around the topic, such as trans people in sports and all that sort of stuff. Would love to get a trans person or expert in on the show to discuss this more, so, especially as we as a society navigate acceptance, change and progress with the acceptance, change and progress of the trans community becoming more open and mainstream in our society. But with anything, of course, you know, it's natural to have any objections and concerns with this. You know, I guarantee you there will be a lot of people who are not on board with this, and I've seen comments on social media posts already that is, you know, there's some genuine concerns of disagreement, and then there's the obvious idiots out there who jump on bandwagons to have a dig or a stab at anything that they don't understand or agree with. In my opinion, it's okay to have objections as long as they are, well, they're not based on discrimination or fear. And that goes for both sides. Very interesting subject, and something I think we'll be looking at more so in the new year. You are listening to The Troy Murphy Show.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
It's bad enough when a child is sick, but when it's one of the family, all you want to do is help. Grant Dodds, presenter of New Sensations Drive, needs our help. His son, Isaac, has a condition called citrullinemia type 1, which can result in brain damage, coma, or even be fatal due to high levels of toxic ammonia building up in the body. But help might be just one bark away. An assistance dog would be able to smell high ammonia and raise the alert, but that sort of help doesn't come without a price. To donate, go to mycause.com.au and search for Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, and help fund an assistance dog that could change his life dramatically. Thank you.
Did you miss your favourite show? Do you want to listen back again? 2SSR is now on demand, so you can listen back whenever you want. Simply click on the show you want to listen back to on the live program guide by going to the 2SSR.com.au homepage. There you'll find the show's on-demand player with the latest from your favourite show, music included. Take 2SSR wherever you go. It's as easy as click, play, enjoy.
And it's all over, just like that.
Yes, that's right. The Troy Murphy Show has come to an end. What a huge show. Thank you for tuning in. Before we go, a quick reminder, as Christmas fast approaches and the busy season is in full swing, it is also the season to be kind, caring, and generous. Speaking of such, Buy a Bale by Rural Aid is on again. And our farmers, after a run of so many tough years, what with the recent rain and horrific floods, well, they need our help, which is why Buy a Bale, that was launched back in 2015 to support Aussie farmers as they face some of the most severe drought conditions on record, is back again. buyabale.ruralaid.org.au. Donate as little as $50 to buy a bale of hay to feed hungry livestock, or if you're generous, as much as you can. Remember, 'tis the season to be giving. Show your kindness to our fellow man and, of course, our farmers who need it indeed. And that's it, the Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Search the Troy Murphy Show, click the like button, and be sure to share with your friends too. Or download the podcast available on iTunes, Spotify, and now on demand on the 2SSR website. Until next week, bye for now.
Friday, Saturday, happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, what a day. Tune your radio to the Troy Murphy Show.
it is for you. Thursday nights from 6 p.m. and then online all week long. Friday's a happy day.